All right, I'm going to pick it up where we left. We went over verse 5 together, and we'll be in Titus 3, verse 6 says, I got to get some context. I can't just jump in there like that. He says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. So we had talked about how regeneration is a subject and the Holy Ghost is a subject. So the regeneration is doing the washing and the Holy Ghost is the one that renews a sinner. And water is nowhere in this chapter anywhere. Some people try to throw water in here. Water don't do anything but get you wet. And you can get baptized. Every tadpole in the pond knows your social security number, but that's not going to make you saved. But you've got a lot of folks that believe that, y'all. The Christ Jesus, we're part of the bride of Christ, and He said you're saved by grace through faith. And one thing that we try to do is it's a preacher's job to make you know that salvation is simple. Man makes it hard. When you think Christ would have went to the cross and made it hard for you to trust, you know what the hardest thing to do that man has is humbling himself and becoming a sinner. You're already a sinner. But admitting it, I tell you, thank God if you find somebody who admit they're a sinner, they close then. Right. You got this generation now, and everybody's good, and everybody's fine, you know. No, you ask some of these folks, you say, well, you saved? I've always been saved. Always been saved. One guy said he got saved. He said, yeah, I'm saved. And well, when did you get saved? Man, we almost had an airplane crash one time, and somehow the pilot pulled up on that thing, and we didn't hit the ground, and we ended up landing. He said, I got saved that day. Your physical life got saved, but your soul not saved. You trust Jesus Christ. And it's the washing of regeneration. The regeneration washes you, renewing of the Holy Ghost. Now, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Christ is the Savior. That's how that thing is shed on you abundantly. And I tell you what, you're talking about an abundance of mercies and everything else that's shed. An abundance, I can't even get into it. Why, it's a river, a living river. He said, the Lord Jesus was talking about what's going to happen to these folks when they get saved. And He said, out of thy belly shall flow rivers of water. And what that's talking about is that Holy Spirit. And that's that abundance. Now He says this, verse 7, that being justified by His grace. Justified. One person described that and he said, just as if I'd never sinned. As far as your soul goes, that's how it is. But now I'll tell you something. Now as far as your body, those sins, you still have to have consequences when you sin. You know, we got to remember that. Christ will forgive you, but you still have consequences for what you do. All right, and He says, justified, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So we're joint heirs with the Lord. I think we even talked about that maybe. But here we are, verse 8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly. So He's telling Titus, that pastor, to affirm these things constantly. What's he telling him? You better get up there and tell them that they which have believed in God, if you believed in God, I hope so, might be careful to maintain good works. You know what he's saying? You better make sure you keep those good works up. How come? These things are good and profitable unto men. Has nothing to do with your salvation. It's good and profitable unto men. Why? Because 1 Samuel 16:7, you don't have to turn there. But you know what the Lord said in 1 Samuel 16:7? He told Samuel, He said, man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. I can tell you I'm saved till I'm blue in the face, but if I'm not doing something about it, how can anybody tell any different from the world? You got a generation of folks nowadays no different from the world. I had a lady the other day, I was telling Carl about this. I had to pull over. I'm at work. And I had to pull over and put mail in a box. That's my job. Oh, this lady, I can't help it. She's in a big old hurry, I guess. She's honking. I'm pulled over as far as I can go. If any further, I'd run over the mailbox. And she's honking. And then she finally got a chance to go around me. And she had a sticker on the bottom of her vehicle that said, "I love Jesus." I said, "Man, somebody needs to pull her over and say, it must be a stolen car." "Well, how come?" "Well, I just figured it got to be stolen. You got a sign on there, you love Jesus." My. What is that? Y'all, this world needs to see the Lord in us.
That's right, brother.
And now look, I know if y'all are anything like me, you have to battle this flesh constantly.
Yes, sir.
But stay in the fight. That's one of the things right there, is being able to roll with a punch. Yes, you messed up. Okay, get right back up. You messed up, fess up, and keep going. Yeah. Why? Because, man, this world today, man, I'm going to tell you, if you let it, it'll drag you down. Maintain good works. They're good and profitable unto man. Because man needs to see somebody that's different from this old wicked, mean world. This world right here, if you don't have Jesus Christ on the inside of you, it'll chew you up and spit you out. Why? Because, look here, it literally tries to devour you. Why? Because the world works for the devil, and the devil tries to devour you. So what's going on? If you have something going on up here, you just know, you're saved. That old world and that flesh and that devil is in collusion trying to destroy you mentally, physically, and spiritually. Well, it can't have your soul, so it wants to get anything of you it can get. So men need to see us maintain these good works. Now how are you going to maintain these things? Here it is, number one. Amen. Verse 9, but avoid foolish questions.
Yes.
Now, you know what? Turn over your Bible. Hold your place there. Turn over your Bible to Proverbs chapter number 26. And we'll get the rule on this thing here. Foolish question. Now, men will ask questions. I love question and answer. Now, here I hadn't had any problem. Y'all have been so nice to me. But you know what? You go to some of these places, and some people ask you questions, and some people ask you questions because they want everybody else to know how smart they are. And some people ask you questions because they want to know what you know. And some people ask you questions because they want you to know what they know. And then some people ask you questions because they really want to know the truth. Y'all, that's the folks that you want to try to help. Those other things, foolish question. Nothing wrong with having questions, but it's the foolish questions. Now, Proverbs chapter number 26, and look at verse number 4. No contradiction here. It says, "Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him." Verse 5. Answer a fool according to his folly. Mistakes in the Bible, contradictions. No, what's he saying? There's a time to answer and a time not to answer. One of them, verse 4, says, "Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him." Verse 5, "Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit." You know what? Sometimes, if you go through there and read the Gospels, sometimes the Lord Jesus Christ would answer a question. Sometimes, whenever he would stand before somebody, he wouldn't answer. Now, you know one of the main ones he wouldn't answer? Herod. He stood before Herod, didn't say a word. Now, you ever wondered that, why he did that? The Bible says John the Baptist was a voice crying in the wilderness. Now, you know what Herod did? The Bible said in Mark 6, Herod heard John the Baptist, said he heard him gladly. John the Baptist said, "You got another man's wife. You in a mess. You need to straighten up." Told him the truth. You know what? Herod had his head cut off. So you know what that means? Herod cut off. John the Baptist was a voice. Herod cut off his voice. Guess what happens? That he sees the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. And the Lord Jesus didn't say a word to him. Now you know what's a scary thing? The Lord uses His voice, His words right here, and He tries to speak to you through reading, through prayer, and through preaching. The Bible said in Titus, "In due time, God has manifest His word through preaching." Now, you know what you have? You got a whole lot of folks praying for wisdom and praying for guidance and stuff like that, won't come to church and hear a sermon. Yeah. And they say, I don't know why I don't get the guidance I need and the direction I need. Or they won't read their book, or they won't read the Bible. And they say, I don't know why I don't get no guidance. But you're not listening to your voice. And they say, well, I need some help. And they don't pray. You're not going to get any guidance without the one who has the guidance to guide you. And sometimes God will use another Christian to help you. The Ethiopian eunuch, he comes up there and he says, I got this scroll here. I believe it was a scroll or something other, but he's got the word. He's got Isaiah there. And he said, how can I understand except some man guide me? See there?
That's right, brother.
The Holy Spirit teaches, but He can use somebody else to guide you through the Scripture. Why? Because, look, we got to have one another.
That's right.
He's not going to entrust me with all the truth. He's going to entrust you with a little truth, the next man with a little truth. Why? So we got to have one another. I can tell you something. When I get around somebody else who knows the Bible and I find out they know the Bible, I'm going to be asking. Why? Because I want to know the Bible.
That's right.
And I want to be able to help somebody else with it. So you know what? I'm an inquisitive fellow whenever I get around somebody who knows the book. I get on some of them's nerves. But you know what? That's a good thing. We ought to ask because we want to learn. Why? Not just to hoard it up, but because we want to learn it so we can help the next person. See, there's sometimes you're supposed to answer not a fool. Sometimes if they're wanting to be foolish questions, the Bible said, avoid. If they're wanting to be foolish with it, don't you answer. Don't, because you know what? You're not going to do any good anyway. I've showed people the verse and said, what does the verse say? Well, that's not what it means. What does it say in the context of what it said? Yeah, I know. I'll say this right here. If you take it, if you were to take that verse literally to who it's talking to, would I be right? Yeah, if we were to take it literally. You know what's happened? The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them who believe not. Their minds are blinded. They're looking at it, but they can't see it. They're hearing it, but they can't hear it. That's what Jesus said. He said, some of you, He said, seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not. You know what's happened? Their minds are blinded.
That's right.
And the Bible said their ears are waxed gross. Yeah. You get some of that earwax out and you can hear a whole lot better, can't you? I can tell you, you know what's that? The heart. Their hearts can wax, get that. That's a picture there. And you know what happens? That after not wanting to hear and not wanting to hear, people just get to a hardness of the Word of God. So He's telling you this right here. If you're going to have to be able to maintain those good works, make sure not to get involved with foolishness. Some things you just don't need to get involved with. And He says this, back in Titus, questions and genealogies. So whenever you're trying to witness to a Mormon and he starts telling you about these genealogies and all this stuff, don't worry with him. Just leave him alone. That's what they're going to do anyway. You know what? I don't have to worry about genealogies. I'm in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Why? Check my name. It's in the book of life there. Now, people say, well, what do you mean? I didn't see your name in there. No, look for Jesus Christ. Why? Because my name don't matter anyway. My life was charged to His. His life. He swapped His life for mine. I swapped my life for His. He didn't get too good of a deal, did he? I'm going to tell you something. What a blessing for the cross, that imputation. The Father don't see me, He sees His Son. Man, that's a blessing.
Right.
See,
right.
You don't worry about those genealogies. And contentions, don't worry about contending with people. Don't you don't have to get in an argument with them. You really don't. If you show them the verse and they don't accept it, you can walk off and say, hey, I've showed them. And strivings about the law. They're going to get in there and you know what they're going to say? Some of them say, y'all can't eat pork. Yes, I can. How come? Because Timothy tells me that as long as I ask God to bless it, it's fine. Don't matter what, I can eat possum. I can eat crab legs, and I can eat shrimp on the barbie, and I can eat squirrel gravy if I want to, and rabbit stew if I want to. All that. Some people may not like it, but I might like it. But if I wanted to eat that, I can eat that. And you know what? People say, well, the law says I'm not under that. I'm under grace. Praise the Lord, too.
Yeah.
People say, well, you got to keep the Sabbath day. I'm not worried about keeping the Sabbath day. Every day is my Sabbath day.
Yeah.
Every day is a holy day to me. This day, that's special, and this other day, no. Let me tell you something. I'm walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, and everywhere I go, I carry the Holy Spirit with me. If I want to have church out there in the parking lot, I'd have church out there in the parking lot.
Right, right.
Somebody said, well, we'll burn your building now. Well, the building's not the church anyway. The people are the church. I'll take your Bible away. You can't take my Bible away. I got it in my heart.
Amen.
My. See, that's a blessing there. All right, now, It says, for they are unprofitable and vain. No good. It don't do you any good to get in a contention with somebody. Never think, well, if I had just told them this, I know I've been there before. If I had just quoted that verse, if I just quoted it just right, I'd have done them some good. No, you wouldn't. If you're contending about it, it's no good. It's unprofitable and vain. If you can have a good conversation where y'all can have a friendly exchange and you're looking at the verses, it's fine. But when you get to that part where it's contending about it, you're not going to do any good. Yeah. You have to leave it alone. All right, and it says this, a man that is an heretic, so they're bringing in false doctrine, after the first and second admonition, reject. If you told him once or twice, he said first or second, you're really going above and beyond if you told him twice. Don't think that you got any blood on your hands or anything else. If you told him, reject. Why? Because it says this, knowing that he that is such is subverted. What's subverted? That's overthrown, entirely destroyed. Why? Sub, that's under, like a submarine. Verted. If I veer off, I veer to the left or veer to the right, I'm gone this way. So he's underneath. He's verted off underneath. He's got an inner problem. He got a heart problem. Now, you got two problems. You can either have a head problem or a heart problem. Now, if somebody does not know any better, when you tell them, they just got a head problem. But once you tell them and they see the truth and they don't want to accept the truth, that's a heart problem. You can't do anything about it. You have to ask the Lord to help them and begin to pray for them. That's how you know. You say, well, what if somebody, I've already told them in this? No. If you've told them and you've already gotten past the head problem and they still won't accept the truth, it's a heart problem now. You better just give them to God and keep praying for them and keep praying for them, because they got a different thing going on. It's inward. It said, and sinneth, being condemned of who? Himself. God didn't do it. Himself. People condemn themselves. I'm telling you over and over and over. We're our own worst enemy. Y'all, people will get out here and they'll go off the deep end, and you try to help them. But look, it's not you doing it. The devil say, well, it's your fault. You didn't do so and so, so. They got a free will. Y'all, every person, you got to realize this right here. That devil will try to put something over on you and over. Y'all, everybody's got their own free will. You can't get around that in the Bible. Why? Because when a person gets to a place to where they make a choice, they made that choice to do so and so, so on. You didn't force them to do it. The devil can't force you to do bad, and God will not force you to do good. Why? Because you got free will. That's one thing that you own God gave you, was a free will. You got to remember that. Condemning of yourself. Now, in verse 12, when I shall send Artemis unto thee, or Tychicus, be diligent to come unto me to Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter. Bring Zenos the lawyer and Apollos on their journey diligently, that nothing be wanting unto them. He's taking good care of his fellow laborers. And let ours also learn, watch this, learn to maintain good works. You got to learn to. You see that thing there? Y'all, it is just, you got a couple things you know in your mind to do. But he says you got to learn to maintain. You have to keep, if I'm the maintenance man on this church here, I would have to maintenance. You got to constantly vacuum. Why? Because over a week time, it's going to get more dirty. You got to constantly wipe this down, that down. Why? Because you got to maintenance these things. All right, so he says, learn to maintain good works. I tell you something, if you don't maintenance the thing, if you get in a good godly habit, let's say you're getting up in the morning, let's say you're reading your Bible, or you got to learn to maintain that thing, keep it up. Why? Because if you don't, it'll grass or grow up, and it'll, before long, that thing's overcharged, and before long, it's getting hard to get that thing back. Because once you let another habit take that thing's place, it's hard to get it again. And y'all, the devil constantly tries to find a way to get you where you don't have that private time anymore. Maintain good works. Why is this? For necessary uses. Has nothing connected with your salvation. That they be not unfruitful. Unfruitful. Turn to, I think it's 2 Peter 1. Should be, unless I got a scribble error, it should be 1:8. Show you this thing about fruitful here in just a minute. I think I've went over this some with you, but you want to be fruitful. Now, In 2 Peter chapter 1, he's telling these, he's writing to here, several things to do in these previous verses. And you can go back and read them. But very, very good, good practical things here. And this is what he says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. For if these things be in you, the things he's previously writing about, and abound, not only be in you, but they need to abound. He says, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. Now watch this, not only just unfruitful, in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? A lot of people are unfruitful, let's say at their job or this, that, and other thing. But it said unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The more you learn about the Lord Jesus Christ, the more you fall in love with Him. And He is the only way that you can produce fruit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit, as far as the fruit of the Holy Spirit, has to do with you being in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and your relationship to Him and your walk with Him is what produces fruit. The Holy Spirit will produce that fruit in and through you. But as you learn more about the Lord, you just fall more in love with Him. That's why it's good for us to, whenever we go through things and stuff like that, Lord, help me through this thing here, and Lord, whatever you're teaching me, help me to learn it, and things like that. Learn why you're going through what you're going through. That's one of the biggest things I know with me. Sometimes it's almost like, yeah, I know that, but then I forget the whole thing. And then I forget, hey, maybe the Lord's trying to show me something here. Lord, sorry about that. What do you want to show me here? Because look, that knowledge, He's wanting to get you closer to Him. Now listen. We'll talk about this in Philemon, but this is one thing you need to know. You can have the directive will of God or the permissive will of God. The directive will of God is God directing you, and you're yielded to God, and that thing, that will, you're right there in the will of God. But now whenever you turn against God, God will allow that thing and permit you to do whatever that thing is you're doing. You want to be in the directive will of God. But the thing is, even the permissive will of God, God can work all things together for good to them that love Him, to them who are the called according to His purpose. But the thing is we want to stay in close fellowship with the Lord. Why? To maintain those good works and be fruitful in what we're doing. That way we don't lose ground and lose time. Yeah, you can redeem time and all that stuff. I know the Bible says that. But y'all, we don't have much time. I don't believe we have much time left. I can tell you, time is going by quickly. I think I've told you before, you know, some people say, well, what if it's 20 years from now? You realize how fast 20 years goes by? Fast. Y'all, it just amazes me to know in 100 years from now, every one of us will be with our Lord. Those of us, I hope everybody's saved. But I can tell you something, if you're saved here today, in 100 years from now, you'll be with the Lord. Now, that's a blessing, and it won't be long. That don't take long. So we have to make good use of the time. We got to walk with the Lord now.
That's right.
I can tell you, you get a lot of these folks, man, and they've wasted life and this and that and other. And you know what they are? They're just like Solomon at the end of his days. You know what he said? After all that stuff, he was the preacher, and he was talking about, I got me vineyards, and I got me this, and I got me that, and he lived a life, and he's a man that had everything somebody could think of. At the end of the thing, he said, I figured this out. Fear God and keep His commandments is the sole duty of man. You know, he was telling his son, it's better to serve God than have all the world has to offer. You'll get to the end of your life and you're not going to want to see those cars. You're not going to want to see your money. You're not going to see your houses. You're going to want to know that you serve the Lord and hopefully you help somebody along the way. Why? You don't want to see all that stuff. You want to see family members and things like that toward the end. Y'all, we forget a lot of times what's important.
That's right.
It's so easy to do it. It's so easy to. He says that they be not unfruitful. We want to be fruitful. All that are with me salute thee. Greet them that love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Amen. Now he ends that thing with grace. And that's a blessing.